Contrary to Iran, Iraq doesn't have a long coastline or many commercial ports. And so from the beginning of the war, it tried to undermine the security in the Persian Gulf region for commercial cargo ships and oil tankers. The aim was to weaken Iran's point of strength. Iraqi warplanes hit Turkish-owned oil tanker Atlas that was carrying Iranian oil on May 3, 1982. And shortly after warned all oil tankers against getting anywhere close to Iranian ports or else they'd be regarded as military targets. Saddam wanted to stop the flow of oil revenues to Iran and bring the country's economy to its knees. This was while the Geneva Conventions and international humanitarian law have all banned damage to essential infrastructure by the warring parties. Historically, wars have always been traumatic. The consequences of the damage to infrastructure have been so tragic. International institutions have spent years to prevent them from happening again. But despite the preventive measures, it's surprising to see Gary Sick of the U.S. National Security Council say at the time that as long as Iran exports oil, the war will continue, and that Iran's oil exports have to be stopped. After Atlas, a Greek-flagged tanker carrying Iranian oil came under attack. By 1983, Iraq had targeted 48 commercial ships, with the addition of 5 French-made Super Étendard fighter jets to its squadron in 1984. Iraq intensified its strikes on commercial ships, hitting 71 of them. By the end of 1988, up to 500 ships had been hit. 55 of them either sank or were inoperable. I sit down with Professor Zainuddin, Iran's legal advisor to the ICJ in the case of concerning Iranian oil platforms. He is a graduate of Nottingham University and has been a legal advisor with Iran's National Oil Company since 1982. He was also the managing director of the company when Iran filed a complaint with the ICJ against the US.
De même nature, mais il faudrait quand même que les gens se pensent jusqu'où ça peut aller. Quand il y a les premiers accrochages, les pétroliers qui se font attaquer, bon, déjà c'est pas normal, mais personne ne dit à cette époque qu'il va y avoir un drame comme celui-là. Or, il s'est produit.
Based on the document of the ICJ's verdict, Iraq started the tanker war, destabilizing the most oil-rich region in the world. But there were other nations that benefited from a tumult in the Persian Gulf. On January 25, 1984, Saudi Arabia shot down an Iranian F-14 Phantom piloted by Homayoun Hekmati with rockets fired from one of its F-15 Eagles over the Persian Gulf, and later allowed Iraqi fighter planes to use the airspace along its coastline to launch attacks on petroleum-carrying ships. At the same time, Kuwait asked other countries to escort its oil tankers. In the afternoon of May 17, 1987, a French-made attack aircraft, Mirage F1, took off from Iraq's Shuaibah Air Base. It was guided throughout its flight by a U.S. Air Force E-3 Sentry. But an hour after takeoff, it suddenly changed course and headed towards USS Stark, an American-guided missile frigate. Before the Americans could see it on the radar, the plane fired two rockets at the ship, killing 37 Marines and doing considerable damage to the ship itself. The U.S. Congress ordered an investigation into the incident. Washington asked the Iraqi government to hand over the pilot of the attacking plane to its investigators. Saddam Hussein denied the request. Strangely, the Americans didn't insist on their demand and accepted Iraq's apology for what had happened. Instead of condemning the attack by Iraq, the U.S. government accused Iran of expanding the war in the Persian Gulf and providing the pretext for such incidents to happen.
I was a bit surprised when some American warship was attacked, was directly attacked by an Iraqi airplane.
We will accept our responsibility for these vessels in the face of threats by Iran or anyone else. If we fail to do so, simply because these ships previously flew the flag of another country, Kuwait, we would abdicate our role as a naval power. And we would open opportunities for the Soviets to move into this choke point of the free world's oil flow. In a word, if we don't do the job, the Soviets will.
The convoy of Kuwait's oil tankers, escorted by three American warships, set out in the Persian Gulf amid extensive coverage in the news. The BBC reported no countries dared attack the convoy. But the calm of convoy was shattered by a loud explosion when the USS Bridgeton hit a mine. No one knew who'd done it. This oil platform will be blown up in 5 minutes. Evacuate immediately. You have only 5 minutes. This was a message from the world's first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, USS Enterprise, that launched a destructive attack on an Iranian oil platform along with two destroyers, USS Merrill and USS McCormick. It told the representatives from the Iranian National Oil Company to leave the platform. October 19th, 40 warships with destroyers Tach and Stanley in support of two F-16 airplanes and one AVACS airplane attacked Risalat and Shahdat oil rig platforms for 45 minutes, which led to oil extraction cut in those oil rig platforms, making the excuse of hitting a Caterpillar Rocket Isle City warship.
As you are aware, in 1987 and 1988, there was two attacks, military attacks, by United States to National Iranian Oil Company's offshore platform in the Persian Gulf.
C'est qu'à l'époque, la guerre Iran-Irak, la guerre imposée, comme vous l'appelez, est en train de prendre une tournure qui ne convient pas aux Américains.
The U.S. destruction of four Iranian oil platforms reduced Iranian oil exports by 520,000 barrels per day. And with the destruction of the Hark terminal, Iran's oil exports were thrown into a crisis. Iranian engineers tried to make up for the decline in exports by laying a new pipeline to take Iranian oil out of Bandar Abbas in the south, a project they wouldn't be able to complete till the end of the war. The outbreak of war, US-led sanctions, Operation Staunch, and eventually attacks on Iran's sole source of revenue, oil, sent the Iranian economy into a tailspin and made life for Iranians ever more difficult.
Well, we are now in the Peace Palace, and the ICJ, International Court of Justice, has been established in 1945 by the Charter of the United Nations, because that when the Charter was signed in San Francisco in June 1945. Headquarters we have here, well, the judges of the ICJ have their offices in the Peace Palace, and the registry that helps the judges to perform their duties, well, is also has its offices in the Peace Palace.
On November 2, 1992, Iran filed a lawsuit with the International Court of Justice against the U.S. government for attacking its oil platforms in the Persian Gulf. In it, Iran made two demands. One, for the ICJ to announce unequivocally that the attacks were a violation of international law, and two, that the U.S. had to pay damages to Iran. The ICJ spent 11 years and 4 days on the case, the longest time it spent on any lawsuit in its history.
The court, after establishing that it has jurisdiction, it examined the issue of merit of the claims of Iran and the counterclaims of the United States.
Such an action was taken by American warship against the oil platform. It was a mistake. But I'm not that much in favor of destroying economic infrastructure, since it's not a good way of weakening a government. It's just weakening the populations, lessening the standard of living of the whole population. And to my mind, it's bad, it's against human rights.
It came to the conclusion that the United States have not been able to meet these requirements of the law. And it concluded that the action of U.S. Forces against these oil platforms were not justifiable under the treaty as well as the customary rules of international law. In a sense, the U.S. action was unlawful, wrongful.
I mean, civilians have been the main target in war over a long time, while they are the ones who should be protected according to the law. But it just doesn't work that way. Soldiers are better protected in many cases than the civilians are, in my view, and that's really a shame.
And it is an explanation of this sort of tilt, of this sort of bias in important countries like United States at that time. The other reason was that Iran was not accepting any peaceful solution, and that a major military conflagration could really appear, could occur at that time.
اینا در طی کار، یعنی در گذشت چند ماه از جنگ، اومدن در مورد قطعنامه ها موضع به نفع صدام گرفتن، یعنی یک گونه رفتار کردن که باید آتش بس برقرار بشه. به جایی که دشمن 150 کیلومتر اومده تو خاک ایران، خب این باید برگرده به نقاط اولیش بعد آتش بس برقرار شه. اینا حمایت میکردن که نه، در همین وضعیت آتش بس خب. معلوم بود که ایران نمیتونست چنین چیزی رو بپذیره.
ما مادی جنگ نبودیم، ما بعد از اینکه به اون حمله کردن دفاع کردیم، حالا هم در حال دفاع هستیم. دفاع معناش این نیست که تا اون گفت که یالا دست بده من با هم صلح بکنیم ما رها کنیم.
In response, the U.S. lodged a counter-lawsuit against Iran at the ICJ demanding two things. One, for the court to declare Iran had jeopardized commercial freedom in the Persian Gulf, and two, that Iran should pay compensation for the damage it had caused. After studying the complaints, the court announced that Iraq had started the oil tanker war and that except for the USS Samuel B. Roberts, a guided missile frigate, the rest of the ships named in the U.S. complaint belong to Liberia, Britain, Panama, and a number of other countries who hadn't made any complaints. Therefore, the court declined the U.S. demands. In order to prove that the mine and missile that hit the American ship had been launched by Iran, the U.S. cited evidence that revealed it had intelligence agents in the top echelon of the Iranian armed forces. A case in point is a 120-page top-secret document relating to an elite special forces team of the Iranian Navy and the radio communications of Iran's Japanese-built landing craft, Iran Arj.
It came to the conclusion again that based on Article 10 of the treaty, as there was no commerce and navigation between the two countries, and since these two vessels were not navigating between Iran and U.S., so again here the court concluded that these counterclaims could not be upheld as there was no actual navigation or commerce between the U.S. in terms of two vessels. So then by this holding, it didn't need itself to go further and analyzing whether these so-called actions of the that U.S. is claiming were attributable to Iran.
Defense against U.S. allegations, Tehran presented evidence that proved the missile and the mine couldn't have been fired by Iran. Additionally, the area where the attack on the American ship had happened was controlled by Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, not by Iran. After hearing out both sides, the ICJ dismissed Washington's claims that Iran had targeted USS Sealed City with a missile from its Rashadat oil platform, and also ruled the evidence presented by the U.S. accusing Iran of planting the mine that sank the American ship was inadequate.